Few issues are more contentious than standardized tests in our public schools. At Seattle's Nathan Hale High School, a council of teachers and parents recently decided to boycott the 11th grade version of the new standardized tests. High-stakes standardized testing is the subject of Anya Kamenetz's new book, The Test, Why Our Schools Are Obsessed with Standardized Testing, But You Don't Have to Be. Kamenetz is NPR's lead education blogger. She told Ross Reynolds the most famous high-stakes tests were created by the No Child Left Behind law in 2002.
The stakes attached to those tests include consequences for students, such as grade promotion, for schools, such as turnarounds and closures, for districts and for states in terms of funding, and for teachers in terms of their evaluation. So there's a lot of stakes going in a lot of different directions, all attached to the outcomes of just a couple tests.
Now, these tests are encouraged, really mandated, by the No Child Left Behind Federal Education Act. And the whole idea behind that act is they wanted to eliminate the racial disparities between students in different classrooms. But you write that these tests punish diversity. How?
Right. So it's just such an example of a perverse or unintended consequence because, yes, of course, since Brown versus Board of Ed, there's been a massive project in American public schools to try to remediate the effects of segregation and of poverty and inequality. But what's ended up happening is under No Child Left Behind, schools have to break out the performance of not only all of their students, but also individually minority groups, low-income groups, learning disabled and English language learners. And so the sheer fact is that the more types of these students that a school has, the greater its chances of being labeled failing or a turnaround school. And that's why urban areas all over the country have seen protests because their neighborhoods are being targeted for school closures and school turnarounds.
You're right that as bad as some people think the current high-stakes tests are, they are getting worse. Why is that?
So the publication of this book has coincided with a mass kind of explosion of interest in high-stakes testing, and that's having to do with the Common Core state standards. So these standards were created by a group of states. They have been adopted by a majority of states. And they're not curricula and they're not tests, but they are a guideline for what students should know and be able to do in reading and math. And the tests that are aligned with the Common Core, the PARC, Smarter Balanced, they are, by most accounts, much more difficult for students to pass. So the pass rate for these tests is expected to drop to below 50% in most places. And that's really part of what's contributing to the backlash against the Common Core is these high-stakes tests.
What do you think is the best argument for the high-stakes tests? They certainly have their supporters.
Sure. So, you know, for example, some of the nation's largest civil rights groups like the NAACP signed a letter just recently in favor of annual high-stakes testing. And they really believe strongly that this is the best way to focus the nation's attention on the underperformance of certain populations of students. And that was the strongest kind of rhetorical qualification of No Child Left Behind, that we would stop the soft bigotry of low expectations in George W. Bush's famous lines. And that remains the strongest justification today for these tests.
I'm speaking with Anya Kamenetz. Her new book is called The Test. She's NPR's lead education blogger. You know, it's said that you can't improve what you can't measure for the simple reason you don't know whether your improvements are working or not. And that's kind of the logic behind standardized tests, to get some kind of a baseline on whether education is working or not. If they're not working, how do you get to those measurements?
Well, the catchphrase for the critics of high-stakes testing is multiple measures. And the idea is that we should never mechanically rely on one output or one single indicator to determine how such a complex issue as how our schools, teachers, students are doing. So the idea here is incorporating different kinds of useful data, including, you know, peer evaluations among teachers, including demographics information. And we should be just simply incorporating many different kinds of information to our accountability formulas. We shouldn't hang so much on just one test. That's what people are saying.
Well, part of the beauty of a test is it's fairly simple. When you come to other sorts of evaluation methods, don't they take a whole lot more time and effort? And does the issue of subjectivity come into play?
Well, you know, part of what I'm doing in the book is to deconstruct the notion that tests really are that simple. You know, psychometrically verified and standardized tests give the illusion of precision, but they don't necessarily deliver accuracy. And I'll give an example. You know, the No Child Left Behind Act specified that all children become proficient in math and reading by 2014, but there is no single psychometric definition of proficient. And in fact, states were able to game that and change around the definition of proficient. Sometimes they would be giving the same test in two different states, but the cut scores, the passing scores on the test, will be 20 points apart. So there's no objective determination or in reality of what students know. And so it's really ends up being quite slippery. And yet when a school board or when a governor can point to some test scores and say, well, our students are up 10 points this year, that sounds very good and it sounds very convincing. But when you start to dive more deeply into it, the psychometricians who built these tests are telling us that they are not as reliable as a single standard of evidence as we might believe them to be.
So Seattle has been a hotbed of teacher resistance to this. How is Seattle viewed kind of around the country when it comes to this issue of high-stakes testing?
Well, there's a couple different aspects of that. I mean, Jesse Hagopian, who you mentioned before, the author of a book on the high-stakes resistance movement, is sort of become a national figure in the opt-out world, and he travels around and talks to other organizers in other cities. And the other major figure from Seattle identified with this is, of course, Bill Gates. And Bill Gates is really identified with the whole metrics-driven approach to education policy under the Obama administration and even a little bit before that. Gates Foundation funded some of the development of the Common Core and some of the development of the tests. And so they really are associated with this idea that the more metrics, the better, and the more we can attach numerical outcomes to our schools, the better our schools will be doing.
Anya Kamenetz is telling us about her new book called The Test. She's NPR's education blogger. Beyond Seattle, how widespread is the teacher revolt over high-stakes testing?
Well, I think the teacher revolt and the parent revolt is kind of going hand in hand. You know, for teachers in many places, this is a union issue. It's related to a lot of opposition to education reform. In Chicago, where I just visited this week, it's become an issue in the mayoral race. The Chuy Garcia is the challenger who's facing off against Rahm Emanuel, and teachers unions are backing him, and he is sort of opposing high-stakes testing. And it's an issue in New York City, where I live as well, between the mayor and the governor. So we're really seeing testing becoming the focal point of a broader debate about school closures, about school cutbacks, about charter schools, and about the role of teachers unions.
Washington State allows parents to opt their kids out of taking standardized tests. Do most states allow that?
Most states do not explicitly permit opting out. Opting out is a violation of the law, technically. It's an act of civil disobedience. And so for many states, however, you know, where parents have opted out their students, there hasn't been cases that I've seen of actual retaliation through the legal system. But in fact, it's the case that it's an act of political protest.
We hear about the teachers, but do you have any sense of how many parents are opting out, either as a civil disobedience act or just because they're allowed to, as they are in Washington State?
My sense is that the numbers are small in most places. It's not, you know, there are no hard numbers. The area where I've seen that has really the best record keeping is in Long Island, where they have district representatives of the opt-out movement in almost every district, and they reported 60,000 people opting out last year. But the percentages are still quite small, and you can see why. I mean, this is something that is, you know, takes effort for a parent first to get informed about the issues and then to decide to buck the system. And they're very often subject to pressure by school administrators, because if a particular school dips below 95% participation in the state-mandated tests, they're going to be out of compliance. They're going to be at risk of losing funding. And that is why there's so much pushback that goes on from administrators against opting out.
Anya, the subtitle of your book, The Test, is Why Our Schools Are Obsessed with Standardized Testing, and You Don't Have to Be. But if you're in school or you have a kid who's in school, don't you have to pay attention to these tests? After all, they're not called high stakes for nothing.
Well, they're not, but yet most of the stakes really devolve to the schools and states and not to the students themselves. And so my advice to parents, I have a whole chapter of advice in the book. I do give instructions if you want to opt out your kid of a particular test. And I also talk about if you have kids taking the test, I believe that there are ways to demystify these tests, put the tests in context, and as a parent to kind of think hard about the messages that you're sending your kid, because, you know, I think that you can arm a kid to be very resilient and not to buy into the hype or the anxiety that is present in many, many schools. If they have a good foundation at home of people who know that they're more than a score and they're more than a number, I think that kids can get through this without being horribly scathed.
Anya Kamenetz, her new book is The Test, Why Our Schools Are Obsessed with Standardized Testing, But You Don't Have to Be. She's NPR's lead education blogger. Are you opting out of having your child take a high-stakes test? We'd love to talk with you. Write us, record@kuow.org. That's record@kuow.org. This is The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.